The Awana Partnership, in collaboration with the New York chapters of the American Institute of Architects and the American Society of Landscape Architects, presents Follies, Function, and Form, Imagining Awana's Summer House. The design exhibition unites 21 visionary architects and landscape architects to address one of the great mysteries at Awana. That mystery is the summer house. In 1886, the plan of Awana, there is a detailed blueprint of Frederick Church's vision for his large-scale designed landscape. The plan's details are largely accurate, yet it contains a structure labeled summer house, for which there is no documentary evidence. The 21 designers have imagined Awana's summer house and have each created one concept sketch of the structure and its environs, much in the way that Frederick Church sketched to convey design and his architectural ideas. To tell us more, we welcome Mark Przeworski, who is landscape curator of the Awana Partnership. Mark, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello, Joe.
And we also meet two of the architects who have taken part in this. Joan Krevlin joins us in the studio. She's been a partner at BKSK Architects since 1992 and a part of this exhibit. Thank you very much, Joan, for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Lori Owen joins us, a practicing architect, landscape architect, whose many award-winning projects include Bryant Park in New York, the Getty Center in Los Angeles, and the Barnes Foundation in Philadelphia. Lori, thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. Mark, let us begin with you of how this project came about.
Okay. Well, many people understand Frederick Church as America's great landscape painter, but many people don't understand the extent that he was also the landscape architect and the architect at Awana, which is his 250-acre creation. So we wanted to highlight those parts of Frederick Church and Awana, and this seemed like the perfect opportunity to do it.
So when it comes to the actual idea, I want to get into, obviously, the exhibit, but talk to us a little bit about the mystery of what we don't know, and because it just comes from one line, pretty much,
yeah.
Right?
Well, there's a lot we don't know. We have this really great plan, which is an important document, which shows the totality of Awana, everything from the lake that Frederick Church constructed, the more than 5 miles of carriage roads, all the architectural elements, the woodlands, the meadows, the pastures, certainly the farm. But the one mystery is this little red square that says summer house. That's all we know, approximately where it would be on the plan. It seemed like a great opportunity.
So when it came to the exhibit, the idea was, I assume you chose who.
Yes, it's an invited exhibition. So yes. Architects and landscape architects were invited. It's absolutely not a competition.
Right. Yeah. But it's who you wanted to be.
Yeah, I need to stress that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're very grateful for that.
Yes. Lori's laughing, I think. Yeah.
I'm laughing because everything's a competition and usually nothing is.
Yeah. So the question that comes before us then is what did you, as I said in the introduction, you wanted this to be what these experts imagine.
Yes, we gave them full freedom. We wanted it to be on paper at a certain size, but other than that, we gave them full freedom to imagine whatever they wanted. There were no constraints.
All right, so let us talk a little bit about these individual plans and then sort of go back to what it is as a whole. As I mentioned, Joan Krevlin is an architect. So Joan, how did you approach this?
Well, we were very interested in the idea of Awana not just as a house, but as a fully created landscape. And when Mark gave us a tour around it, the site, where I had been many, many times, but never the full site. And we began to understand it as an earthwork, which is very different than a house of great renown sitting on top of a hill of a beautiful landscape. And as part of Church's conception, he had a very choreographed approach to the house on a carriage road that wound you around an arising hill so that he controlled your views of the landscape and the house as you approached it. And that for us became the most important thing as we were imagining how to put something on this site. This rolling lawn came down from the house, and our scheme, which unfortunately we can't hold you a picture of, didn't build a structure as much as a path. We were very concerned about adding another object to a very composed landscape that was really about framing your view or sort of prospecting your view of the house. And we were not I was not somebody who could imagine being church imagining what a summer house looked like, but rather think about how one might appreciate what he'd done and then add to it.
And ultimately, a pathway and how to get there. So you have direction as well as stairs and to go down the hill.
Right. When we walked through the site, we spent quite a lot of time. My partner, Harry Kendall, and I have a house up here in the Hudson Valley, so we spent a lot of time. So he was my co-creator of this. But so when I say we spent a lot of time at the site. And when you walk up to the house, you look back down through two trees, past two other trees down this hill, and you see the lake that he created. It's a man-made lake. And so we took that vantage point, that line, and essentially carved a path into this landscape that connected that view as a way to engage physically with the view that he created.
Lori Olin, your contribution to this is much more, as it's pointed out, a garden seat rather than a summer house.
That's right. I think Joan's take is very, very apt in some ways. And, you know, when I first started thinking about it, I thought, it's like, what would Jesus do? What would church do? You know, it's kind of a phantom. You know, you don't know.
Right.
They'd probably do something more radical than you might. but one of the things is that I first thought of a typical little garden seat building that would be like a temple, sort of the sort of thing you see in landscape gardens, since that was largely what church had been making. But then I thought the problem was, and Joan said this, looking down from the house, it'd be in the view as well. And so after flirting with the notion of burying something or putting the green roof on something so it looked like another piece of bump in the meadow, I thought, well, I guess if it's an object, rather than do some Adirondack twiggery or some, you know, neoclassical temple or even an Orientalist fantasy, rather like the house that he built for himself, it might be more interesting to think of it in the tradition of many of the great garden follies from the 17th and 18th century that were like, you know, sort of Arabian tents or something like that. And I immediately thought of a couple of great pavilions, one that Olmsted and Vox did at Prospect Park, Vox being a collaborator with Church on his house initially, and also one that Carmentel did at the Parc Monceau in Paris in the 17th century. And that was a sort of a central mast with a great tent on it that you could then fold up in the winter. There would sort of just be like a big shuttlecock down on the lawn or something like that from a distance. And then you'd open it in the summer and you could sit under it and you could paint or have a picnic or whatever. So I thought of it as being a bit more movable, ephemeral, and a kind of thing that would open and close.
So, Mark, we've been hearing about really two out of the 21, and what is remarkable is really how different they are and how many different ideas there are, and they all make sense in their own way.
Well, it was interesting because we invited architects and landscape architects to each independently approach this challenge, if you will. You'll see all different sorts of sketches, concept sketches. Some are black and white, some have color, some are watercolor. Some, one is at night, there's one in the winter. There are some that are not even buildings. It's a really varied representation of people's imaginations.
When you look at it as a whole and as an exhibit, what do you think the viewer takes away?
Well, I think it's sort of really, it really represents creativity. I mean, a church was an artist, a very diverse sort of artist, and the idea of architects and landscape architects being artists, I think that's what sort of shines through for me. They often aren't represented in that way all the time, and I think at Olana, it's the perfect place to demonstrate that.
Joan, what's it like to see your idea along with all of these others?
Well, you know, it was a pleasure to see the full range. And I think what I liked, what the show is a beautiful show. It's beautifully sort of hung, and it's a really lovely show, and it should be seen. But the idea that 21 of us could have the same brief and the same site with the same impetus of trying to sort of understand church and what he was thinking. And what I think when you see the collection of them, it gives you insight from 21 different points of view that speak to a collective understanding of church in that site. So that's, I think, very interesting. It's, you know, looking, trying to sort of understand a similar thing from each of our own perspectives that make a larger, I think, understanding of church and his landscape.
And Lori, what was your take on the exhibit as a whole?
Well, I agree with Mark and Joan that people should go see it because the diversity is quite wonderful. And what happens is you, as one of the contributors, what happens is you see all the things that you thought of and you didn't pursue, but you might have and chose to do something else. And you think, had I gone down that route, would I have done it that way? Well, maybe and maybe not. I think the diversity is she's right. It's genuine, and it's very rich, and it's stimulating. And the good news is because there's so many of them, you don't have to pick and say, oh, this is better than that, because there are so many excellent ideas, and they're quite different, many of them. Remarkably so.
Given that, back to Laurie's chuckling of the beginning of our discussion, would Alana ever choose one?
Well, that question is being asked. I mean, we're open to all possibilities. If some of your listeners want to engage with the Alana Partnership, we're open to discussing it.
But so it comes down to cash at this point.
It really comes down to sort of our goal was to do an exhibition this year, and we're planning for next year.
All right, so go ahead, Laurie.
One thing I'd say is that if you think of the Serpentine Pavilion in London and Hyde Park, that every year they build one and then they take it away.
Yes.
You've sort of outdone them by doing 24.
You're good for many years.
That's right. Yeah, it's a whole long-term plan. Well, it's a very cool exhibit. It's called Follies, Function, and Form, Imagining Alana's Summer House. It runs through how long? When do we run here?
Through November 13th.
November 13th, and you can find out. Go ahead.
And it's free.
And it is free. Mm-hmm. You can find out more information by going to alana.org, alana.org. Joan and Laurie, thank you very much for sharing with us your expertise in all of this. I appreciate it. Thank you
very much.
And Mark Przorski,
thank
you. And Mark Przorski, who is landscape curator of the Alana Partnership, thank you for being here and for setting all of this up. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.